Our lesson comes from James chapter 5, verses 7 through 10. Hear God's word. Meanwhile, friends, wait patiently for the master's arrival. You see, farmers do this all the time, waiting for their valuable crops to mature, patiently letting the rain do its slow but sure work. Be patient like that. Stay steady and strong. The master could arrive at any time. Friends, don't complain about each other. A far greater complaint could be lodged against you, you know. The judge is standing just around the corner. Take the old prophets as your mentors. They put up with anything, went through everything, and never once quit. All the time honoring God. What a gift life is to those who stay the course. You've heard, of course, of Job's staying power, and you know how God brought it all together for him at the end. That's because God cares. Cares right down to the last detail. May God give us understanding of this holy word, and let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. Waiting is hard, isn't it? It's probably one of our least favorite things in the whole world. And yet, it seems like we're always waiting for something, right? Always. I mean, if it's raining outside, we're waiting for the sun to shine, right? And yet, how often when the sun's shining and we don't get rain, then we're waiting for it to rain? We wait for snow before Christmas. And then we wait for spring to get here as fast as it can so we can stop shoveling and messing with all the snow, right? We're always waiting for something. We're waiting in traffic, stuck. We wait in lines, especially this time of year, and we hate it. When we grow up, we want children. We look forward to having babies. And then when we get them, we can hardly wait until the babies are grown, or at least walking and talking. I was overhearing Fred talk the other night about how with the babies that, you know, we can hardly wait for them to start talking, and then when they're talking, well, then we want them to stop. And the same thing with the walking. We can hardly wait until they walk, and then they start getting into so much trouble, we wish they would stop. But we're always waiting, and we always seem to have this sense that things could be better, don't we? We watch and we wait. Well, I have another story to share with you this morning. It's called The Porch People. It's by Kenya Transiton. And she writes, "The winter was not going well for our young and growing family. I was expecting our sixth child. And my husband had been out of a steady job for nearly 2 years. Taking whatever temporary work he could find, we were able to meet our monthly obligations. But with Christmas coming in a few days, we were saddened that we would be unable to provide our children with any gifts. And then one evening, the doorbell rang, and we opened it to find a box on the porch, and no one in sight. We dragged the heavy box inside, and we discovered that it was stuffed with food and candy, and the children danced around excitedly as we pulled out everyday basics like macaroni and cheese, as well as the makings for a delicious turkey dinner with all the trimmings, including apple pie filling and a ready-made crust. Well, the next evening, we helped the children with their schoolwork, and we bathed and readied the younger ones for bed, and the doorbell rang again. And this time, we found a smaller box. And we were just as thrilled by its contents, a small ceramic nativity set. Again, whoever had delivered the box disappeared by the time we opened the door. Well, we let the children choose a place of honor for our new gift. And after they decided who should stand by Joseph and that the lamb needed to be next to the shepherds, my husband and I spent a few reflective moments with our children on the meaning of the upcoming holiday. We reminded them that Mary and Joseph had been desperately poor, having not even enough money to provide a room in which Mary could give birth to her baby son. I asked the children how they'd feel if they knew that their pregnant mommy would have to go out to the barn to have our new baby there. And they looked very solemn. I gently told them that Mary and Joseph did not have any money to give gifts, but that didn't mean they didn't love their baby. And our four-year-old reminded us that, well, we didn't need any money, for surely Santa Claus would bring us presents. And we went to bed that night in agony, wondering how we would explain to our children on Christmas morning why they had received no gifts. Well, the next few evenings, our children anxiously awaited the return of the porch people. Their only disappointment was that they were unable to catch them in the act, for every night another box filled with Christmas goodies and decorations appeared on our front porch. 2 days before Christmas, I opened the back door to shake the rugs, and I found another box. This one was filled with wrapped gifts bearing cheerful tags addressed to our children by name. There were several gifts for each child, and even a few for my husband and me. I hid the presents so the children wouldn't find them and looked forward to sharing the secret with my husband. After a discouraging day of job hunting, I knew he would appreciate some good news. When my husband came home later that day, I beamed as I told him of the box I'd found on the back porch. Wanting him to have a small surprise on Christmas morning, I didn't mention that there was also a package for him. He gave me a weary smile as he headed for the shower. That night, I had a hard time keeping my children away from the windows. They spent a good deal of time peeking outside, hoping to catch a glimpse of the porch people. Finally, I got the Monopoly game out and got them interested in buying property and avoiding going to jail. Whenever they heard an unexplained sound, all of the kids would look up expectantly and ask, "Is it the porch people? Is it the porch people?" Well, I couldn't ruin the surprise of Christmas morning by telling them that we'd already received an extra special box earlier that day, so I tried to distract them with games and stories. I also wanted my children to learn something valuable from the porch people, so I asked them why they thought the porch people would do so many nice things for us. Were they family members? People from our church? Neighbors? Whoever they were, we decided that they must really love us. My 9-year-old then gave an analogy that brought tears to my eyes. The porch people, he said, are like the wise men who brought gifts to baby Jesus just because they loved him. Well, several months later, my husband found a permanent job, and I gave birth to a healthy son. And soon Christmas was upon us again, and our financial situation had improved, and we were able to provide a lovely holiday for our family. But the porch people had taught us an invaluable lesson. And that Christmas, we became porch people to another family in need, because like the wise men, we love him and we love all his children. I have a porch story to share with you myself. Yesterday afternoon, after everyone had gone home after George's service and the lunch next door, Tim and I went next door into the church office to get a few things together and get ourselves together and unwind a little bit. And as we were sitting on the couch upstairs, we saw a car pull up. We heard car doors bang, and we're looking at each other because we knew that the guests were up at Johnsonburg Camp this weekend, and no one was supposed to be coming over to, you know, to the house or anything. And the next thing we know, we hear this loud on the door. And we're looking at each other. Well, should we answer it? So we go downstairs and we open the door. And here's this woman with four children holding these boxes and bags of gifts. And they said, "We're here to see the families." And I said, "I'm so sorry, the families aren't here." And they said they'd done a concert the night before, and they wanted to bring a few gifts, but they also wanted to sing for the families. And so, luckily, I had my tape recorder. Well, it's not a tape recorder, there's no tape here, but I had my recorder, and I invited them to come in, and I asked them, I said, "The families are not here, but I know that they're not going to want to miss your songs. So could you sing them, and I'll record them, and I'll make sure that they get them?" And so they did. These children with their beautiful voices, they sang three songs. And then I took them for a tour around the house so that they could see where the families were staying and how we tried to help. And the woman who had organized it was telling them about the families. And we were trying to explain to them how most of us are just one paycheck away. And all it takes is for someone in your family to get sick or someone to lose a job. And they were having their porch moment. And I could see in their eyes that they really cared and that they were really glad to be there. So then I asked if I could take their picture. And so we had them on the steps, and I have their picture, and we'll share that with the families too. It was amazing that we were even there. It would have been so easy for us to have just gone, and for them to have come all the way from Easton with no one there. But God is good. And some days we're the ones that are leaving gifts, and some days we're the ones that are receiving the gifts. And I believe that God gives us all the opportunity, if we're willing, to do both. It's hard to wait, but as we watch and wait, we can celebrate. We can celebrate a God who came to be among us and who is with us even now. Let us pray. Almighty God, we get so impatient and so worried because we can't pin the future down the way we want to. And yet, if we remember, we know that you are ever with us, preparing the way and making everything perfect right now. Thank you, Lord. Amen.